Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I am Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Hey, hey, back in effect. Both of us today.
Back in effect. Jim's been carrying the torch.
This is recording or dropping on a Thursday, so we don't know
if you're gonna.
My hair might be blowing back today.
Right? Yep, because supposedly, and of course, hurricanes, they rarely get it right. They always turn to the last second, or they downgrade or whatever. But right now we're under the threat of the first one in 2 years since Hurricane Ida. And in my entire life, we have not gone 2 years without a named storm hitting the coast of Louisiana.
Yeah.
It would normally we get 3 or 4 a year. A lot of them are tropical depressions and stuff like that. And usually at least one big one. And that brings on a laundry list of problems for law enforcement. Yes. And so you got to respond to, now you got to fight your normal crime, but crime goes up during hurricanes. But what people don't think about is while law enforcement is doing that, like your local sheriff's offices, they're also responsible for maintaining the prisoners that they're in their local jails.
You never do think about that.
Unless their power goes out, what do you do? Right.
Yeah.
You certainly they got some backup generators and stuff like that, but you still got to feed them and house them and whatever. Well, guess what? Same goes for our state prison systems.
Yeah.
And in Angola, I know in the past, especially, you know, because it's surrounded by levees, they had the inmates go out there. They have the bulls is what they call them. They come up on the inside of the levees,
mm-hmm.
and where the levees are weak, and they have them out there 24 hours a day, shoveling sandbags, filling sandbags, and positioning the weak spots in the levee.
Right.
They also will take the prisoners, when Burl Cain used to do it, out to help communities and, you know, shore up levees and things like that.
Yeah.
So, but people don't think about what happens to prisoners and during the storms.
Right. They really don't. And you usually don't find out till after. And so today we're going to tell you about some specific and probably some of the more well-known hurricanes. There's been a lot here in South Louisiana, from Hurricane Betsy to Camille.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, you know, in the 2000s, probably the two biggest that come to mind are Katrina and Ida.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to reference some articles today, and Woody's going to start it off with an article on Katrina and the response to that. And it's important that we note some of this. Whenever you go online and you look for information and especially responses regarding the prison system to things are written by a lot of these advocate groups,
right,
that are advocates.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they're written on the point of view of the prisoner, for lack of a better term. It's certainly not our opinion necessarily in some of this, but anyway.
Still very interesting.
Yes.
And so we will start with an article titled Hurricane Katrina Was a Nightmare for Inmates in New Orleans. And y'all, we actually talked about Burl Cain's response in another Bloody Angola episode. The OPP, Orleans Parish Prison, was ranked as the worst central lockup in the United States of America, worse than New York City, worse than anything in Los Angeles and Chicago. And I had to go there many times. And one time I went for a murder suspect that I had a warrant for murder, but they picked him up on another charge, and they added my charge to him and called me and told me he was there. And I got there, they couldn't find the motherfucker. OPP was a monster in itself. And this was before Katrina, y'all.
Did they find it?
Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. And it was just, you just didn't want to go there. Okay. But at that moment, let's take you back to OPP. On Saturday, August 27, 2005, 2 days before Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, Dan Bright was locked inside Orleans Parish Prison, otherwise called OPP, y'all. He was locked up on what he calls bullcrap charges. He had been exonerated just a few months earlier when it was determined that he had been falsely imprisoned for a murder he did not commit. But Bright says that on Saturday, while helping board up his mother's house, he was arrested for trespassing and wound up in central lockup on misdemeanor charges. Not good. Sunday was deceptively peaceful as Katrina World Closer and New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin issued the first ever mandatory evacuation of the city. Now, Governor Kathleen Blanco added that the storm was very serious and we need to get as many people out as possible. In spite of this, Sheriff Marlon Gusman announced the prisoners will stay where they belong. He had generators, he said, and a loyal staff, so the city inmates would hang tight. The grouping of buildings that comprise Orleans Parish Prison render it something of a crown jewel in what some call the world's incarceration capital, Louisiana, and at the time of Katrina, one of America's biggest jails, because OPP earns roughly $25 a day per prisoner from the state. City cops don't do a whole lot of catch and release. In August of 2005, the majority of OPP's roughly 6,800 prisoners hadn't been convicted of a serious crime. They were people who couldn't pay traffic tickets, drunk tourists who pissed on Bourbon Street, kids caught smoking pot. The robust jail and regressive criminal justice policies made for a perfect storm for what was to come. Katrina soon made extra clear that many drawbacks over enthusiastically caging so many people at once. It took us 6 hours to evacuate about 300 prisoners from St. Bernard out to OPP the night before Katrina hit, recalls one guard who worked in the jail at the time of the hurricane and asked to remain anonymous since he's still employed by the city's correction system. All our inmates were put in one big gymnasium at OPP. We thought we'd have cells or structure. We, guards, were stationed on the outside of the gymnasium unarmed because no one can bring weapons into OPP. When Katrina hit on Monday, August 29th, OPP's generators failed. All the lights went out and the underventilated jail became stifling. When the storm hit, it sounded like the building was going to come down, the guard recalls. My attorneys and the bail bondsmen were all leaving the city. Then the electricity went off and the water started rising, says Bright, who was being kept inside OPP's Templeton building. With no power, the electric cell doors remained stubbornly shut as the facility filled with water. The prisoners thought we were all planning to leave them to die locked in there, and I can't say I blame them for thinking that. Bright and his cellmate, a diabetic man, kicked at their own door for 2 or 3 hours. It's on a hinge that slides back and forth, Bright recalls. You can knock it off its hinge and then slide out the bottom of the cell. And, right? And we're doing all of this in the dark. All you see is the water.
Oh, my God.
Lucky for Bright, he had been lodged him on the second floor. Let's say he was housed on the second floor. Below him, the terrified prisoners began to riot in the sewage-tainted floodwaters. And that's the truth, y'all. I'm going to interrupt this article that it actually flooded. So, continuing. Our gym was on the ground floor, and the inmates were getting agitated, the guard tells Vice. Food and all services had been discontinued. There was no AC, no ventilation. Downstairs, the water rose from the prisoners' ankles to knees to waist. Though they experienced the hurricane in the separate OPP buildings, both Dan Bright and the guards say that by Monday night, most OPP officials had fled the scene to save themselves. The prisoners thought we were all planning to leave them to die locked in there, said the guard. And I can't say, I told y'all this, I can't say I blame them for thinking that. Well, around that time, Sheriff Gusman realized his mistake in failing to release the prisoners and began to send rescue teams back into the jail. And by Tuesday morning, the toxic water was chest level or higher. Now, y'all, this water, all the sewer and shit that's coming up from New Orleans. So that water rises to the top first, right?
New Orleans.
Yeah, I know, right? Ugh. Oh, my God. But continuing. At some point, it got high enough they got angry and started banging on the doors, breaking down the first set of security doors to get out, the guard remembers. We, real fast, went out and locked the second set of security doors and stood outside of them with no weapons. All we had were our voices, telling them, don't come out. I start seeing chips of concrete breaking out of the wall in the overhangs. Turns out the inmates inside were using a bed to beat a hole through the cinder block wall. Bright and the cellmate pounded their way out. They struggled to save a few others, but their effort ultimately amounted to nothing. The deputies had left that building, but they were outside with boats. They hadn't been coming in because there was no power and it was dark. They was afraid to come in, Bright claims. But when you got out, they were grabbing you and putting you on those boats. There are few documented reports of the conditions Bright and the guard describe, but a damning 2006 report by the American Civil Liberties Union titled Abandoned and Abused, Orleans Parish Prisoners in the Wake of Hurricane Katrina. It interviewed more than 1,000 people who were at OPP during those days and attest to the horrifying circumstances. Now, Raphael Schwartz, a 26-year-old Missouri man arrested for public intoxication on August 27th, said he was held in a cell with no ventilation and nothing to eat or drink for 4 days. Renard Reed, a guard at OPP's psychiatric ward, reported being locked into the ward to prevent his desertion and then being ordered to the roof with a shotgun and told to shoot anyone trying to leave the flooded buildings. Reed remained stranded at the prison long after the prisoners were evacuated. Now, Ashley George, a 13-year-old girl housed in OPP's youth center, says she was moved to an adult male holding area where she spent days in water up to her neck. And it's shit water, y'all.
Bruh.
And, I know. In response, the sheriff said that none of it was true. Don't rely on crackheads, cowards, and criminals to say what the story is. He would also later claim that no one died to escape from OPP. There are no official reports on inmate deaths during Katrina, but Bright says the sheriff is a bona fide liar. I'm looking at the dead bodies. I see a guy catch a heart attack and drown, he says. Likewise, the guard describes Gusman's claim as bullshit. There were definitely deaths at the prison, he says. I don't know how they covered that up. I didn't believe conspiracy theories before, but now I do. The Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office did not return requests for comments on this story. Imagine that. Well, one of very few high ground options, the elevated, hell-hot Broad Street overpass, is where the guards say boats dropped about 3,500 inmates to be washed over by 200 to 300 police officers beginning on Wednesday, August 31st. Other inmates were sent elsewhere. They had dogs and everything to keep us sitting on the hard concrete on the bridge for 4 days. 95 degrees with no water, Bright says. Bright says his cellmate, who helped kick open the door, suffered a diabetic stroke on the hot asphalt. Now, a report from the Human Rights Watch, which interviewed over 1,000 inmates evacuated from OPP, suggests Bright's experience was not unique. After 4 days, they figured out how to get a bus to the prisoners. They had to climb down a scaffolding onto a bus to Hunt's correctional facility, recalls the guard who remained trapped on the interstate for a couple more days before being rescued and reunited with his family. On Saturday, September 4th, Dan Bright was brought to Lane Hunt Correctional Facility in St. Gabriel, Louisiana, where the horror continued. After the bridge, they brought us out in the middle of this football field for another 5 days and five nights. Guards were throwing sandwiches over the gates, and if you can get one, you just didn't, Wright remembers. He also claims that the guards, believing he was still locked up for murder charges, kept him in solitary confinement 24 hours a day and fed through a hatch in his isolated cell. And when I kept trying to tell these idiots, the guards, I'm not on death row anymore, they grabbed me and threw me against the wall. Well, in a very lucky break, one of the attorneys who helped exonerate Bright happened to move to Alexandria to start her own firm. She came to the Hunt Jail for humanitarian reasons to see if anyone was being mistreated. And she recognized my name on the list, Wright says. And once she saw my name, she pulled me out. I told her what was going on. Bright became one of the lucky ones to even meet a judge. Once they bring me to court, I get escorted with four patrol cars, heavily armed guards with shotguns and machine guns and handguns, and they all lined up around the court, Bright claims. I'd never heard of this in New Orleans. You can't bring a gun in New Orleans courtrooms, but they figured I'm on death row. Eventually, Bright says, jail officials admitted, there might be a mix-up in my paperwork. Bright says, after suffering such an emotionally trying experience, you start to ask yourself, why not suppress that? If I continue to dwell on it, I'll go crazy. That's fun. Homie had a bad time, right? In 2000,
couldn't imagine.
I know, right? I tell you, it was a bad time to be a cop, though, for real. In 2012, with the U.S. Department of Justice listed as a co-plaintiff, the Southern Poverty Law Center lawyer Katie Schwartzman sued OPP on behalf of thousands of the prisoners. The suit was meant to address the total lack of an evacuation plan, but also sought to fix ongoing unconstitutional conditions at the jail, particularly safety and security issues, especially for men, women, and kids with special mental health needs. And this is Gordon Schwartzman, who has continued her work on the issue as co-director of the New Orleans branch of Chicago's Roderick and Selene MacArthur Justice Center. She won her case in the resulting 46-page federal consent decree against OPMP was enacted in June of 2013. It requires changes to almost every aspect of the facility, increased staffing and training and better mental health facilities, improved food and sanitation, revision of prisoner grievance process, and much more.
Hey, y'all, it may be moving towards the end of another summer, but that doesn't mean I can quit watching what I eat. We all know home-cooked meals are so much better for you, but you don't always have time to pull it off. But with HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep, it's easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. There's always new flavors to explore with an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from every week. Just pick your meals and your delivery date. It's that simple. With summer in the rearview mirror and busier days ahead, now is the perfect time to save money when it comes to your dinner routine. Skip the meal planning and grocery store lines and cut down on food waste with HelloFresh's convenient doorstep delivery and pre-measured ingredients. My favorite aspect of HelloFresh is the vast array of menu options. Look, I can burn out on eating the same things over and over again, but with HelloFresh, I don't ever run out of options. Y'all, I tried the spinach one pan chicken last week, and all I can say is my mouth is still watering. It was that good. For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Now, two Ohio tourists arrested in New Orleans on public drunkenness. Let me ask you something. How fucking drunk do you have to be?
And I actually read... or rather watch the guys that you're about to talk about on video talking about this situation. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. How drunk you got to be to end up. And these dudes were lawyers or something. They got fucked.
I mean, I can tell you how many times I'm literally dragging people down the street. I mean, like passed out and we didn't get arrested, but maybe they figured out from out of town. I don't know, but we'll continue with it. So the two Ohio tourists arrested in New Orleans on public drunkenness charges 2 days before Katrina and jailed for more than a month were awarded $650,000 for false imprisonment. And Chief Deputy William Hunter's deliberate indifference to the men's constitutional rights to call an attorney or relative. But besides that, Schwartzman admits there has been precious little justice for the individual prisoners who survived Gusman's lethal mistakes. I am unaware of any successful cases, she says. I do think cases were filed by prisoners representing themselves, and that there was at least one suit by an attorney, but I am unaware of any that were successful. Nor has the consent decree been a cure-all. It's been slower going than we had hoped, and there's still a long ways to go, admits Schwartzman, who says OPP has taken some steps forward. The guard we spoke to agrees OPP is changing for the better. I think the officers left have more respect and a better rapport with the inmates in the facility since Katrina. The deputies and officers are more conscious now, which I don't think has to do with Katrina so much as technology and being watched. Bad apples make front page news now. Plus, new employees go through psych evaluation. It's a more strenuous hiring process. And if you manage to make through that, if you're not in it to help people, you must, just like the authority, you're going to get weeded out. And I think everybody learned lessons of Katrina, and I believe if there were another storm, decisions would be made differently and plans would be executed differently. And this, according to Katie Schwartzman. Still, you have a hard time convincing Dan Bright, who is currently staying in the lower Ninth Ward, while a writer is working on a book about his tumultuous life. He revisited New Orleans jail about a year ago on further misdemeanor charges and did not agree that OPP is changing for the better. Well, he went back home, right? They tore up that temple and building down in the meantime, and they put lots of tents. I went back from misdemeanor charges and I was in our tent city, guys living in tents. And although the tent city makes the place look like a refugee camp, construction on a new $145 million, 1,438 bed consolidated OPP building is finally set to wrap up this fall. This is according to the Times-Picayune. And they say last year, the Gusman did purchase 4 new backup generators for the prison. And in June, he promised the advocate that he would be ready for another Katrina. His office would now theoretically evacuate all of OPP by bus 60 hours prior to the landfall of any hurricane category 2 or greater. In the case of a category 1 hurricane or a tropical storm, Gusman said the jail staff would likely relocate inmates out of its most vulnerable areas, including the remaining tents. In conjunction with other parish prisons, he said the Orleans Sheriff's Office would bus inmates to three or more separate State Department of Corrections facilities north of Interstate 10, and inmates would now enjoy a mobile solar-powered booking facility that would help track them with bar-coded armbands. They're going to enjoy it.
A bar-coded armband. Yeah,
instead of tracking them. How long you going to figure out how to take that off?
Oh, my God.
Swap those, right?
Ankle monitors don't work. Yeah, that
right? Work. He said, I think everybody learned lessons in Katrina, and I believe if there were another storm, decisions would be made differently and plans would be executed differently. That's Schwartzman again. One thing to remember is how big OPP was at the time of Katrina. This incarceration binge we're on is tough to sustain. The bigger the prison system, the harder it is to run. Schwartzman explains that when she filed the class action suit in 2012, there were 3,300 prisoners in the jail. Now that number has dropped because the city has been working to reduce its incarceration numbers. It has adopted policies such as citations for marijuana offenses, refusal to hold prisoners on out-of-parish warrants, and implementation of pre-trial services program. Policy changes have driven down our incarceration numbers, and now we're down to 1,800 people in that jail, and hopefully they'll all be in one facility soon. Now, Bright now tours the world telling his frustrating life story, while Mayor Mitch Landry uses the flood's anniversary to tout all the city's improvement in these past 10 years, Bright says. Bright says, New Orleans is the worst city I have been in, man. Bright tries not to think about it too much or about what happened during Katrina. But it's always be in the back of my mind. Yeah, he admits. Every time I pass by that jail in that area, I think about it. Anytime I'm on interstate out of the town, yeah, I think about it a lot. And I have to hurry up and block it out. Back out. You just block it out. Keep pushing forward. If I look backwards, he reiterates, I would go crazy.
Well, we don't want him going crazy, Woody.
He might have a little PTSD.
Yeah. And let me tell you, thank you for that article. That was interesting. And all kidding aside, if you're locked up in a jail cell and water is up to your freaking hips,
and you're
shitting a brick. And, I don't blame you there.
And it's totally dark. There's no
totally
windows.
Dark.
And the guards.
People are going nuts.
And the guards have hauled ass.
And the guards have hauled ass. Could you imagine? We're not laughing, but it's just crazy. That happened, y'all.
That happened. And it's total blackness. Shit water up to your neck. People literally dying and floating. Yeah. Bodies floating. I heard stories of it. And from the inside, dead bodies floating shit. And, but you can't even see them. But you feel them bump up against you.
Oh my God.
They're literally hacking their way out of cinder block walls.
Jeez, dude. Oh, man. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. Well, and that was Katrina, and they did learn some things back then, but years later, Hurricane Ida.
Yeah, so that would have been
12 years. Well, something like that.
Let's see, yeah, because that was 2 years. Was it 20? It had to be
21.
20, 20,
yeah.
Yeah, 20,
yeah
21. 21. So that was a long time. It's 10, 15, 16 years later.
Yep. Well, Hurricane Ida hits, and I'm going to read you a story about that. So, floods, power outages, no running water in jails during Hurricane Ida.
I was 19 days without any of that.
There you go. Yeah, that sucks. Sedara Davis spent hundreds of dollars every month to talk to her fiance, Johnny Davis, on the phone. God damn. They're inseparable, she says, even though he spent the past few months incarcerated at Nelson Coleman Correctional Center. Yeah. He's got some rap with him, I guess. That was in St. Charles Parish, Louisiana, and each call runs about $5. But then Hurricane Ida made landfall on August 29th. Mm-hmm. that afternoon on the phone with him.
Real quick, that the same day as Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, it sure was.
Same.
Isn't that something?
Bad day.
Wow. That afternoon on the phone with him, Davis said she heard what sounded like wind taking the roof off. The top of the jail in St. Charles Parish was flooding, and winds touching 100 miles per hour ripped through neighborhoods bordering the Mississippi River. Although the parish was under a mandatory evacuation order, Johnny and more than 300 other inmates were left in the facility. I was like, you know, y'all are under a mandatory evacuation, Davis said, and he responded with, these people ain't worried about us.
Yeah, that's true.
Within minutes of Ida reaching St. Charles, the jail lost power and running water. Davis, who lives more than 2 hours away in Lafayette, was worried about her fiance, but couldn't get any information from the sheriff's office in charge. Friends and family members, too, were left in the dark. Ida, a fast-moving storm that turned into a hurricane in 3 days after forming, tested local government's emergency response plans. Some areas, like New Orleans, told residents to shelter in place, whereas towns and neighboring parishes were under evacuation orders. But Davis isn't alone in thinking that officials neglected incarcerated people. More than a dozen civil rights groups raised concerns about why some detention facilities in Hurricane Ida's path weren't evacuated during the storm. Now, Louisiana is known for getting battered by hurricanes. It also puts more of its citizens behind bars than any other state in the U.S. Man, what's that got to do with that? Kind of slipping that in there, maybe. Yeah, right. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, Louisiana also has the highest in-custody mortality rate. Mm. The lack of a coordinated plan for jails leaves more than 50,000 incarcerated people in Louisiana facing elevated threats from national disasters, with patchwork efforts for ensuring prison conditions are livable after initial danger subsides. These risks have been long known. In 2005, following Hurricane Katrina, a reported 7,000 prisoners went days without electricity, trapped in cells filled chest deep high with sewage water, just like what he just told you. When we think about people who are incarcerated, I would argue that they are on the front lines of climate change. Said Andrea Armstrong, a law professor at Loyola New Orleans. So we'll move on from that. The most loss of life doesn't occur during the storm itself, but in the days that follow, when people have no access to drinking water, electricity, and sometimes food.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah. In a week after Ida hit southern Louisiana, the Nelson Coleman Correctional Center's phone system was shut down for days. And Davis said the sheriff's office didn't respond to any emails sent from four different accounts. Unable to find answers online, Davis made the trek from Lafayette to the jail, 30 miles outside of New Orleans. She had recently found out their four-month-old child was prone to seizures and wanted Johnny to tell her everything would be okay.
Oh, Johnny.
But when she made it to the jail, she said she was turned away and immediately given no information. Officials from St. Charles Parish, who have jurisdiction of the jail, did not respond to this article for comment. Mm. But St. Charles Parish Sheriff Greg Champagne publicly said inmates weren't evacuated because the $28 million facility constructed in 2001 was built to withstand a Category 5 hurricane. Yet Davis advocates and others in touch with those incarcerated at the facility say they heard the building has had flooding and rolling power outages. In Lafourche Parish, where Ida made landfall, a mandatory evacuation was issued, but no evacuation was implemented for the roughly 600 people locked in the Lafourche Parish Detention Center. On August 30th, the day after the storm first hit, the jail, which sustained damage and lost power, made news for posting video footage of inmates, some of whom were reportedly detained pretrial, filling up sandbags to protect property across the parish from flooding. In Baton Rouge, young people detained at city-run juvenile detention centers were not evacuated from the facility, and the center lost power for a day and a half. It wasn't much better for the facilities that did evacuate. Inmates in Orleans Parish and Plaquemines Parish were moved north of Baton Rouge to Louisiana State Penitentiary, known as Angola. But an outdated inmate search system prevented their family members from knowing where they were. Once inmates were moved back to their county jails, local sheriffs opted to impose mandatory quarantines rather than letting people go through, and this is was in the height of COVID, y'all, routine COVID tests.
Right.
So when incarcerated people are left out, they have to make adaptions of their own to survive. One attorney says, and he was talking about after Hurricane Harvey in 2017, for instance, Houston inmates were punished for attempting to stockpile bottled water in anticipation of the storm. Incarcerated people in the region were reported to have been drinking from dirty toilets in the aftermath. Yes, indeed.
You got to drink.
Davis finally heard from Johnny nearly 2 weeks after Ida hit. It was an odd call, she said, because he was normally talkative. I guess he was if they spent hundreds of dollars a month talking. Right. She said her fiance stayed on the phone less than 3 minutes before saying he got to go. So she suspects that correctional officers were monitoring the inmates' calls to make sure they weren't talking about how the jail handled the storm. They're leaving us in the dark on purpose, she said. I know they want to just look at them like, oh, they're just criminals, but they're somebody's family, and these people have family that love them. And I agree with that. But that's a little bit about Ida and the response to that. And look, Woody and I both know Lance Landry, who is the warden at Livingston Parish. Prison.
Great guy.
Great guy. And I have begged him to tell me all his secrets over there and stories, but and come on the show, but he won't do it till he retires, at least, he said.
Good guy.
Yeah. But very great guy and an avid listener to the show.
Yeah, and they have a really, really tough time. You know, think about like COVID.
Yeah.
And you can't get more fucking confined and closer to the motherfucker than you can in jail.
That's right.
And they had to do all the extra steps and everything else. And then the storms, they were ready. And you learn something from every one of them.
You really do.
And Katrina, they learn. And Ida, they learn. And hopefully this one won't be bad enough to we have to learn anything.
Hopefully not. But, you know, we pre-record this, but I checked the spaghetti plots while Woody was reading his story. And the spaghetti plots are just showing you different models and where they're lining up. And that sucker going right over where we're recording as of right now.
That ain't good.
Ain't good at all. And it showed the satellite And I mean, the eye of this storm, y'all, passes right over Baton Rouge, which puts us on the east side, right, which is the bad side of that storm.
That's the tornado side, not yeah. wood, right?
Yeah. No, so hopefully everything will be fine. We don't know, you know, obviously, because we pre-record these, but right. thought that was a good subject to talk about today, considering what's going on.
Yes, indeed. And you know, stay safe, people. And hopefully this is a non-issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but always prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Yeah. And if you're like me, and you know, I've told y'all, I know I've said this on several of my other shows, but when I was 12, I wanted to be a weatherman. That's how much I love the weather. I really do. And I'm absolutely, if I am OCD about anything, it's hurricane. So I won't sleep from now until probably Friday.
What is it? Is it Scott or Jim Cantore? What's that dude's name?
Jim Cantore.
I used to watch him.
Sucker's Mile.
He goes right into the middle of storms. Yeah. And over the years, he got big old guns. He got swole up and lost hair like me. But I always followed him and always fascinated. But one time, Hurricane Andrew, 1993, I left. I was working for the Department of Corrections. I left and drove to Lafayette because that's where it's supposed to hit. I was supposed to go to Lafayette. Yep. That's where my fraternity brothers were, and we were going to have we did have a hurricane party. Look, they put on the restrictions. Everything was shut down. You couldn't sell alcohol after a certain time, and you know what? We had one hell of a hurricane party. You don't know what happened? We never even lost fucking power.
Come on.
It went over Baton Rouge.
Holy
And I came home to no power.
Yeah. That's right.
And, but you know, stay safe and I don't know, man, hopefully it's a non-issue.
Hopefully so. But, that's all we got for today.
That's it. And I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Stay. Oh, you know what? I got to say this.
Yeah.
Last weekend I got to go on a dove hunt in East Feliciana Parish. And one of my buddies who's a retired like commander in the Navy, he did 27 years at EOD.
Oh, wow.
And then, him and his buddy, well, one of his underlings that was retired also. I hadn't seen Charles in probably 20 years. But you know, we kept up and what have you. He's like, bruh, listen, buddy, Angola. And then another guy, James Michael Bradham, was like, man, I got a hunt lease up in Tennessee, and we binge listen to Bloody Angola every time on the way up there. And different people would come up and say, man, we listen to Bloody
Angola. I love that.
So shout out to all y'all. Thank you for listening, and we love and appreciate each and every one of you.
That's right. We sure do. And so check us out on Patreon if you get a minute.
Yes, Patreon members, thank you so much for your support. And thank you to our sponsors.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all too.
That's right. We sure do. All right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango. Oh.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.